So the first reading this morning is from the Hebrew Bible, the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34, verses 11 through 16 and 23, as well as chapter 37, verse 24a. For thus says the Lord, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the watercourses and in all the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. My servant David shall be king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd. And so ends this reading.
This morning's gospel reading is a slight change from what's in your bulletin. It's John chapter 10, verses 7 through 16. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because the hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as God knows me and I know God. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd." Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'm so sorry that I can't be with you in person today, especially after being away last week. I was very much looking forward to being with you, but as most of you know, COVID came to our house this week. And so I'm very grateful to Nick and Dave and everyone who made both this sermon recording possible and made sure that worship continued without me here. And I look forward very much to being with you again next week. Fingers crossed and prayers. So today, you might have figured out, is Good Shepherd Sunday. Now, last week, Mike Rich, who was preaching, talked about Jesus asking Peter to tend his sheep. So these two passages connect well, and we'll talk about how in a moment. But first, let's talk about that 1995 classic talking animal movie, Babe. There's a still from Babe on the front of your bulletin. We watched Babe a few weeks ago during vacation at my parents' house. It was a VHS cassette tape, so that tells you how long ago this movie was made. For those of you who haven't seen it, or like me until recently, haven't seen it in well over 20 years and might need a refresher, Babe is about a piglet who ends up on a farm after being won as a prize at the county fair. Now, at first, Babe seems destined to be fattened up for Christmas dinner, But then he is adopted by Fly, the sheepdog, who tells him about working with the sheep. Remember, she tells him, you have to dominate them. They're sheep. They're inferior. We are their masters. Let them doubt it for a second, and they'll walk all over you. Make them feel inferior. Abuse them. Insult them. Bite them. Be ruthless. Whatever it takes to bend them to your will. But Babe has befriended the sheep and thinks they should be respected. And he defends them not once, but twice. First from sheep rustlers trying to steal them, and then from wild dogs who want to kill the sheep. It sounds a bit scriptural, doesn't it? And so Farmer Hoggett, the farmer who won Babe, begins to get an idea. Maybe this pig could do what his adoptive mother, Fly, does. Maybe this pig could be a sheepdog. Or, well, a sheep pig. So Farmer Hoggett begins to train Babe, and by the end of the movie, despite the disbelief and scorn of everyone from his own family to sheepdog trial judges, to the entire crowd of people watching Babe maneuver the sheep through the trial course flawlessly, without one bark or bite, but with simple courtesy and kindness, it becomes clear that Farmer Hoggett's idea was brilliant. That Babe was born to be a sheepdog. Or pig. Last weekend, I was away in Detroit for the twice annual gathering of my denominational leadership program, NGLI, or Next Generation Leadership Initiative. Our weekend was a lot of fun. There was clergy bowling and power thrift shopping and ukulele sing-alongs and even a chili dip in the Detroit River. But it was also powerful. You see, NGLI brings together young-ish pastors in the early years of our careers, and not only creates a network of close-knit colleagues who help each other through the ups and downs of ministry, but it also teaches us powerful ideas and tools that help us help our congregations, that's you all, to thrive. This past weekend, our theme was creativity and innovation. And we spent time learning about all the ways that Detroit is working to come back from the devastation of decades of neglect and demise that culminated in the city declaring bankruptcy in 2013, and all the ways its people are trying to rebuild while not losing the heart of the city to gentrification. I'll show more about what we learned in the weeks to come, but today I want to talk about one concept from a book we read in preparation for our time together. Stephen Johnson's Where Good Ideas Come From, The Natural History of Innovation. In it, Johnson talks about the adjacent possible, an idea first articulated by scientist Stuart Kaufman to describe everything that's a possible next step from where we are now. Kaufman came up with this idea of the adjacent possible to describe the primordial soup that existed on Earth before life began. All the different ways that atoms floating around in the prehistoric ocean could potentially combine, some of which were the organic compounds that would lead to life. Now, Johnson explains sunflowers and mosquitoes and brains existed outside that circle of possibility. They were too far of a leap. But the proteins necessary to form the boundaries of cells and the sugar molecules crucial to the nucleic acids in our DNA. Yes, with a little bit of lightning or a jolt of heat from an undersea vent, those crucial building blocks were a next possible step from what was already there. They were in the adjacent possible. Another way to think about the adjacent possible, as Johnson describes it, is as a house that magically expands with each door you open. If you begin in a room with four doors, each leading to a new room you haven't visited yet, those four rooms are the adjacent possible. But once you open one of those doors and walk into that room, three new doors appear, each leading to a brand new room that you couldn't have reached from your original starting point. Open enough doors, Johnson writes, explore enough of the adjacent possible, and eventually you'll have built a palace. In other words, when it comes to innovation, whether it's the primordial soup or a church, you can't leap ahead to a brilliant idea that isn't achievable yet. But you can figure out the innovation that's possible right now, given the set of raw materials already in front of you. In fact, Johnson argues, the most important facet of innovation isn't a brilliant mind thinking in isolated splendor in an ivory tower or a closed-off laboratory. No, it's an environment where, not unlike the atoms in that primordial soup, people are floating good, adjacent possible ideas past each other, bouncing them off others' good, adjacent possible ideas, until something sticks and a new innovation is born. Now, from there, a whole new set of developments become possible, and suddenly you're looking at an environment or a church culture that isn't stagnant or dying, but that is adapting to the world around it, and is, in fact, thriving. Farmer Hoggett had what looked to the people around him like an insane idea. And indeed, if he had woken up one morning before Babe's arrival at the farm and said to himself, "You know, I think I'll see if I can train a pig to be a sheepdog," he would have seemed out of his mind. But when Babe came to the farm, his friendships with both the sheep and the sheepdog were suddenly in the adjacent possible. And once those friendships had become a reality, his ability to learn to herd the sheep in a new, unique way, which before was not even a thought in anyone's head, was suddenly in the adjacent possible. And because Farmer Hoggett had a smart, sheep-friendly pig on his farm who got to watch experienced sheepdogs doing their thing, Farmer Hoggett began to think about what might be in the adjacent possible for him. And he discovered a whole new way of herding sheep that was not only more efficient, but also safer and more compassionate to the sheep. Before they met Jesus, I imagine his disciples had no plans to lead people or teach them about a new way of seeing God or to innovate in any other way than perhaps trying out a new knot for their fishing nets. But after 3 years on the road with their rabbi, watching him preach and heal and turn people's ideas about God inside out in a spectacularly life-giving way, suddenly there were new things in their adjacent possible. They had watched this good shepherd lead his people, not by scaring them or intimidating them or by leading them astray for his own gain, but with radical compassion and deep dignity for each person, and a sense that we all have more goodness in us, more capacity to connect with God in us than we necessarily act on, and that we can all be a part of God's kingdom made real. So when it was their turn, when, as we heard about last week, Jesus turns to Peter and asks him to feed my sheep and tend my lambs, suddenly, even though they never would have thought of it before, it now was possible. I wonder, friends, what for us is in the adjacent possible? We have such great raw materials on the table, deep love and care for one another, smart, creative people with a huge breadth of skills and a well of enthusiasm. We have a history of finding causes we care about and doing something to make a difference. And we have the deep love and care of the Good Shepherd for his flock, the very best building block for any kind of innovation. Because when we are grounded in that kind of belonging and compassion, when we know deep in our bones that Jesus will lead us to places that restore and revive us, suddenly feeding his sheep, caring for those within and beyond our walls instead of just being cared for, is in our adjacent possible. May it be so. Amen. Friends, as you go out into this world and out into this week, remember that we worship a God who is our good shepherd, who promises to lead us beside still waters and revive us in green pastures and to make our cups overflow with all that we need. If you need to hear that today because you haven't been feeling so revived or restored, I hope that brings you hope. And if you can point to places in your life where you already see that that is, then I invite you to look around and see what of those raw materials, those that being cared for and having all that you need, frees you up to think about what's possible. What is in your adjacent possible? What might be next based on where you are now and where we are now that might help God's kingdom to come a little bit more alive? Just opening that next door into a room that holds possibilities and surprises and abundant and thriving life. May it be so. Go in peace.